Good morning, everyone. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that's written in the Scripture. And in those days, how you enlighten your servant Paul and change his life, and so that he be a faithful servant of you and explain your word clearly to your children. And I pray that today you enlighten myself and so that I can explain your word clearly to your children. In the same way, we can obey your word and be truly blessed by you all the days of our life. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you want to divide this sermon, you can divide it into two parts. Part one is verse 1 to 4, who Jesus is. And the second part is after we believe who he is and what should we do. Every time when you read the Bible, if you want to truly understand what the Bible is trying to say to you, you try to read the Bible in the first chapter. And then if like in Romans, there's 16 chapter. So read the first chapter right away, and then you go to the last chapter. And because it's a long book, 16 chapter, after you read the first one, second one, third one, all the way by the time you read the 16th chapter, at the end of the chapter, you forget what you have read. But if you read it, chapter 1, and then you read chapter 16, then you see exactly what Paul trying to say to us. So I divide this portion of the scripture into two parts. Number 1, chapter 1, 1 to 4. Who Jesus is, part 2, chapter 1, 5 to 7. After we know who he is, what should we do? How should we respond to it? So, in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophet in the Holy Scripture regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David. Chapter 1, verse 3, as to his human nature. His human nature, he's a son of man. He's a son of David. 1:4, as to his divine nature, he's son of God. The English Bible, those people who has the English Bible, I want you to cross out the in verse 4, and who, instead of through the Spirit of holiness, you read the footnotes, and who was upon footnotes A, who as to his spirit, that means as to his divine nature. Spirit is God, is spirit. Jesus Christ has two natures. One is the son of David. That is son of man. As to his divine nature, he's son of God. And how do I know that he's son of God? Paul said, by his resurrection from the dead. By his resurrection from the dead, then we know he is Son of God. And then I read that to you using the footnotes translation in verse 4. And who, as to his spirit, the spirit is capital letter S, it's not small letter S, as to his spirit, as to his divine nature. That's what Paul trying to say. As to his spirit, was appointed, Jesus Christ was appointed to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. So in verse 1 to verse 4, tell us who Jesus is. At first, Paul did not know who Jesus is. Paul only know the partial truth. I want you to turn to Matthew. At that time, when Jesus was questioned by the Pharisee as to his authority, as to who he is. And then at the end of all the questioning, Jesus asked them questions, and none of them can answer the question. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 41, all the way to 46. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about the Christ, about the Messiah? Whose son is he?" "The son of David," they replied. In other words, they know the Messiah, the Christ, is the son of David. They only know the human nature of the Messiah. They do not know the godly nature of Messiah. Right beside Pharisee, Matthew chapter 22, verse 41, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Let's hear what Paul is saying about himself. Chapter 3, verse 5. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. Paul was a Pharisee. All the Pharisees know the first portion of the answer. They know who the Messiah is. As to his human nature, the Messiah is Son of Man, Son of David. They all know that without question. Right after they give the answer, Jesus said to them in verse 43, How is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, called the Messiah Lord? For he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet." The Lord, the first part, the Lord say, God the Father, said to God's Son, said to the Messiah, my Lord. My Lord is not the Father's Lord, it's David's Lord. I say that one more time. Verse 44, my Lord. It's a small letter, M, my Lord. When David was filled with the Holy Spirit, David called the Messiah, is my Lord, is David's Lord. Verse 45, if then David called the Messiah Lord, How can he be his son? Verse 46. No one, circle the word no one, and link it together with 41, the Pharisee. None of the Pharisee. Who are the Pharisee? The Pharisee are the teachers of the law. Right beside the Pharisee, do me a favor, turn to Gospel of John, chapter 3. Nicodemus is also the Pharisee. Take a look at what Jesus said to the Pharisee, Nicodemus. Turn to Gospel of John, chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus. He's a member of the ruling council. And then, when he asked Jesus a question, he himself did not understand. So Jesus said, you are the teacher. Turn to verse 10. You are Israel's teacher. You are Israel's teacher. You are the teacher of the law. You judge people because you are the member of the Jewish ruling council. How can a judge judge people unless he judges people by the law? You cannot judge people about the law. You have to judge people under the law. You yourself do not understand the law. How can you judge people? Now go back. Go back to Matthew chapter 22. At that time, none of the Pharisees understand that Jesus has two natures. They all know that Jesus has only one nature. If you are the Son of Man, you are the Son of Man. You cannot be Son of God. If you are David's son, then you cannot be David's Lord. You understand what I'm trying to say? So that's why no one can answer the question. But When Saul's life was changed to become Paul, because Jesus Christ appeared to him, his life was changed. I don't know whether you remember Matthew chapter 13. So make sure to write down Matthew chapter 22, and then you write down here Matthew 13, 51 to 52. After Jesus talked to his disciple regarding the kingdom of heaven, seven parables. And after, in the entire chapter of chapter 13, Jesus tell them what the kingdom of heaven is like using the parable, seven parables to explain the kingdom of heaven. And after he explained it, and he asked them, do you understand what I'm trying to say? They say, yes, we do. As a matter of fact, they don't. And then Jesus say, In chapter 13, verse 52, Jesus said to the disciple, therefore, every teacher of the law, do me a favor, you write down Pharisee. Every Pharisee who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who bring out his storeroom, new treasure, as well as old. You write down right beside the old treasure, you write down here. As to his human nature, that's the old treasure. As to his divine nature, that's a new treasure. It's a new revelation. As far as the Pharisees are concerned, they all know Jesus, human nature. He's the son of David. You understand what I'm trying to say? How come they know that? Because you write down Psalm 132, I think it's verse 10. Because God promised to David, your son will sit on your throne and to reign forever and ever. I'm sorry, verse 11. 132 verse 11, the Lord sworn an oath to David, a sure oath that he will not revoke, one of your own descendants, that's a son of David, I will place on your throne. So they all know the answer. This is all treasure. They understood that. No question about that. The answer is true. But they only know the partial truth. They only know the human nature of the Messiah. They don't know the divine nature of the Messiah. In other words, they only know Psalm 132, verse 11. You write beside 132, 111, you write down, that's the old. That's an old treasure. It's not a new treasure, it's an old treasure. Okay? And then right beside the new treasure in here, 1:4, you write down Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, He's not only the son of David, He is David's Lord. He's God. So at what time, all of a sudden, His nature was changed from human nature to divine nature? You write that? When did He change? You write down Acts 13:33. On the day of His resurrection. When Paul explained who Jesus is during his preaching in Acts chapter 13, he explained, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Son of God. Right beside the new nature, the new treasure, you write down Psalm 110, verse 1, Acts 13:33. The Messiah is David's Lord. The Messiah is Son of God. Because this is an important revelation. When Paul was changed by Jesus because of his appearance, when his life was changed, all of a sudden he knew the answer. How come he knew the answer? Because God, Jesus, revealed it to him. That's why he knows the new treasure. That's why when Jesus say, do you understand the kingdom of heaven that I'm preaching to you, the seven parables? They say, yes, we do. But in fact, they don't. And then Jesus explained to them, if a teacher of the law was changed to become the follower of Jesus Christ, to believe in Jesus, then he will bring out the old treasure and the new treasure. And that's why when Paul's life was changed, he tell people, now I know who Jesus is. He's not only my son, he's my Lord. Because this is an important revelation, it's a mystery, that's a mystery. So at the very beginning, when he talk about the gospel, who Jesus is, he tell him right away, he has human nature, he has divine nature. At what time has he had divine nature? On the day of his resurrection. You write down Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. The Messiah proclaimed the decree of the Lord. You are my son. Today I have become your father. That today is the day of his resurrection. The Messiah will proclaim the decree of God the Father, the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. That today is the day of his resurrection. On the day of his resurrection, he will not die anymore. He lived forever and ever. He become Son of God. Ever since he know the mystery, wherever he go, he preach about the mystery. Do you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2? He said, I come to you not knowing anything, only one thing I know, who Jesus is. Jesus is the Messiah, and Jesus crucified. He preached about that. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except I know Jesus is the Messiah, and Jesus was crucified for our sins. That is a mystery. Okay? As I said before, chapter 2, verse 1, I proclaim to you not the testimony about God. I proclaim to you God's mystery. Because even the Pharisee, the teacher of the law, do not know the mystery unless he was changed. His life was changed to become the follower of Jesus Christ. When you become the follower of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will reveal the truth to you. I want you to turn to Galatians. Chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. I want you to know, brother, that the gospel I preach is not something that men make up. Right beside that, I want you to turn back. Don't leave the Galatians. Turn back to chapter 1 of Romans. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Circle the word God. The gospel Paul preaching is not the gospel of man. The gospel he's preaching is the gospel of God. I want you to know, brother, that the gospel I preach to you is not something that man make up. Verse 12, I did not receive the gospel from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received the gospel by revelation from Jesus Christ. Paul not only received the revelation from Jesus Christ, revelation means it used to be a mystery, it used to be hidden, now it's open before him. So now that he knows the truth, he wants to open it before all of you. As I said before, any Bible that you read, when you read the first chapter, you go to the last chapter. Then you know most of the pastor, if we want to make sure that the congregation understand the passage, at the very beginning, he tell him the truth, the important truth. At the end of his sermon, he repeat the truth again so that people can remember what he heard. Not only Jesus revealed the truth, who he is to Paul, later on in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, God 15 and 16, and God himself revealed it to him too. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, God was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I may preach him among the Gentiles. And I did not consult any man. The gospel he's preaching is a gospel of God because Jesus revealed it to him. God the Father revealed it to him. That's a new revelation. That's a new treasure. You know what? Until now, the rabbi, the teacher of the law, still do not acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah. They go and worship God on every Sabbath, on every Saturday, and yet they go to hell. Brother and sister, make sure you know God's mystery. Jesus is the Messiah, and him crucified for my sin. And that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. But what about what John saying? 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. What is God's command? God command to each and every one of us is to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, the first part, who Jesus is. And then after that, according to his command, is to love one another. To love one another, I want you to write that down, is the second part. 23a is number one. is Romans chapter 1, 1 to 4. That is 1 John chapter 3, verse 23a. What does God command to you and to me is to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. And He's the Son of David too. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. Believe in that, and you will have eternal life. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 23b is the number 2. Okay? What should we do? What should we respond? How should we respond to the gospel? Just hearing the gospel and do nothing? You won't be saved. Do not deceive yourself. When you have faith in God, you got to do something about that. Respond to your faith to prove your faith is a genuine faith. It's not counterfeit faith. So now I spend a little bit of time to explain the second part. What should we respond to God's calling? First of all, take a look at how should Paul respond. At first, his name right beside Paul, you write down Saul. Now he called himself little. Paul means little one. He humbled himself. At first he's a proud man. Anyone believe Jesus the Messiah, he's going to persecute, crucify him. Now his name, his name was changed from Saul to become Paul. Saul means here. Here. When he truly hear the voice of the Lord, he humbled himself. He was called Paul, little one. His name was changed. His character was changed. At first, he's the enemy of Jesus Christ. Now he become what? The servant of Jesus Christ. At first, he did not acknowledge Jesus is the Messiah. Now he say, I'm servant of Christ Jesus. He put down Messiah come first. Messiah Jesus. He's a true rabbi. And then he know his call to be an apostle. He has a message to the whole world, especially to the Gentile. He set apart for the gospel of God. He didn't do anything. He just do one thing, telling other people who Jesus is and how should we respond to it. Same as at the end of Apostle John's life, he tell other people, what did the entire Bible telling me? The entire Bible tell you that who Jesus is. Believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ. Once right after you believe that He is the Messiah, He is the Son of God, how should you respond to it? To love one another. Different pastors say different things, but they all mean the same thing. Okay? Using different wording to explain how should we respond, but indeed telling the same thing. He set apart himself for the gospel of God. He didn't do anything other than preaching who Jesus is and how should we respond to Jesus. The gospel he promised beforehand through the prophet in the Holy Scripture. In other words, he telling all other audience, when you're reading the Bible, you have to know that the gospel has two parts too. One is the old treasure that is in the Old Testament. Another is the new treasure. That's why the teacher of the law, when they were transformed to be the follower of Jesus Christ, he can bring out the old and the new treasure. That's why, you know what? Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. Out of the 12 apostles, only Matthew recorded this verse, these Bible verses. Why? Because Matthew's name is called Levi. He's supposed to be the teacher of the law, yet he didn't want to be a teacher of the law. He wanted to be what? Tax collector. And his life was changed too. When his life was changed, Jesus opened his eye. He can write things. He can explain things. no other people have seen. Brother and sister, when Paul say that he set apart for the gospel of God is to preach who Jesus is, take a look at Romans chapter 12. Would you please turn to Romans chapter 12? Chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Rather, think of yourself with sober judgment. His name was changed from Saul to become Paul. He judged himself with sober judgment. Don't think of yourself higher than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members. These members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesizing, that's what Paul has. Let him use it in proportion to his faith. Now he believed that Jesus not only has a divine nature, he also has a human nature. So that's why he explained clearly to us. Be a faithful servant. If your gift is serving, let you serve. If your gift is teaching, let him teach. If your gift is encouraging, let him encourage. Right beside encourage, don't use human word to encourage. Because in Philippians chapter 2, And Paul say, if you have word of encouragement, you use the power of the Holy Spirit and use His word to encourage others. Don't use human word. Using the word of God to encourage. If it is contribution to the need of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. In other words, whatever the gifts that Jesus Christ given to you, use it. Set yourself apart for that thing. Now I want to talk about the second part. Verse 5 to verse 7. Through Jesus Christ and for his name's sake, now that he knows who Jesus is, he's not only the son of David, he's the son of God. For his name's sake, because now that I know his human nature and the divine nature, for his name's sake, serve him. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship. He not only received grace, he also received apostleship, so that he can serve God. To call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that come from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, I find out this is very good. Grace and peace to you. The condition is you have to do three things. Paul said he called people to the obedience that comes from faith. Brother and sister, if you do not study the Word of God, at most you are just like Saul. Saul used to be the one who opposed Jesus. But when he understood, by faith, he understood the word of God, he became obedient
to Jesus' calling. He obeyed. That obedience comes from faith. Obedience does not come from anything else. Come from faith. Because he believed that. He believed his human nature. He believed his divine nature. And I'm sorry, I make a mistake. I turn around. So he used to be the one who resists Jesus. Once to be, he opposed Jesus. He persecuted. Now, he explained God's word. His life was changed. That obedience comes from faith. Brother and sister, study God's word. Right beside faith, chapter 1, verse 5, right beside faith, you write down 10:17. Faith comes from the message of God. The message comes from the word of Christ. If you don't hear his word, you won't obey him. Faith comes from hearing the message. The message comes from what? The word of Christ. Because Jesus Christ revealed who he is to him. He knew, oh, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. You are right. I misunderstood only a part of the scripture. I only understand Psalm 132, 11. I don't understand Psalm 110, verse 1. I don't understand Psalm chapter 2, verse 7. Today, I become your father. I don't understand what you mean by today. What day? Not the day of his birth. Not the day of his baptism. Not the day of the day of the Mount Transfiguration. He transformed his body. He revealed who he is. On Matthew chapter 17. No, not that day. It's the day of his resurrection. Well, Paul himself obey God. It looks like it's three things. Actually, it's one thing. A, his obedience. That comes from faith. If you have no faith, if you have no word in your heart, you cannot obey God. B, belongs to Jesus. Belongs to the Messiah. That is 1:5. This is 1:6. And then C is 1:7. Call to be a saint. Call to live a holy life. Brother and sister, all these three things is one thing. Let me explain to you. Do me a favor. Right beside 1:5, 1:6, 1:17. You write down Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30. You know what? If you don't obey God, God has a way to deal with you. Because he's going to work out everything to make sure that you're going to turn around. When you turn around, he's going to bless you. For those God foreknew. Foreknew, that means he knows that you're going to believe in him. He knew you, that means you knew him too. Okay? For those God foreknew you before the creation of the world. He knew you before even you were born. He knew you before the world was created. For those God foreknew, he also predestined. Predestined what? He has made that decision already. He won't change it. He determined it before you were born, before he created the whole universe, before he created human being. He made a decision already. He won't change it. He wants to make sure all his children to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. He wants all his children to be obedient like Jesus. Take a look at that. Those God foreknew, God also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, not to be transformed by this world. You write down Romans 12, 1 to 2. Not to be changed by this world, but to be changed by the word of God. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul's mind was already been changed because he's become a follower of Jesus Christ. He used to be the opposing Jesus. Now go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It's God's purpose that each and every one of us that he foreknew, he wants each and every one of us to be conformed to the likeness of his son Jesus. Of his son Jesus. You write down 1:4. Romans 1:4. He's the son of God. He wants everyone to be like son of God so that Jesus Christ may be the firstborn among many brothers. The firstborn, you write down 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Jesus Christ, the first fruit of all resurrection. He's the first one to be resurrected, and he will not die anymore. Anyone who follow his pattern will be resurrected, will not die anymore. Right beside first fruit, right beside firstborn, you write down 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit is the firstborn. The first fruit of those who have fallen asleep, since death came through a man, a resurrection of death, of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, as in Christ all will be made alive. Go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 29, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Firstborn. Right beside firstborn, you write down 2:7. Psalm 2:7. You are my son. Today I have become your father. He's the firstborn on the day of his resurrection. He's the first one to be resurrected. When he's resurrected, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 9, death has no mastery over him. According to Revelation chapter 1, 18, I was dead and now I'm alive and I live forever and ever. He's truly the Son of God, just like God. He's a living God. He will not die anymore. Wow, that's great. You know? So in other words, could you do me a favor? You write down one word. Those God foreknew, he also predestined to be obedient to Jesus that come from faith. Brother and sister, don't just say, oh, I believe Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Son of God, and then you do nothing. Your faith is a counterfeit faith, if that's the case. Prove yourself that your faith is genuine. Your faith has to come with action. Verse 30. And those he be tested to be obedient that come from faith, he also called. Now I realize, before he calls you, he has to ask you, do you agree with that predestination? You have to be obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ that come from faith. If you say yes, he say, I'm going to call you. When he calls you, he going to justify you. He going to credit you with his righteousness. All your sins are wiped away. He say, now you're righteous. He not only justify you, though he justify, he glorify you. Just like what I say 2 weeks ago. How did he glorify you? Chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We lost the salvation, the glory of salvation. We lost the glory of inheritance. We lost the glory of kingship. Now he restore all that what you have lost and return it back to you. He say, you gain them back. Though he justified, he also glorified. unfortunately, a lot of people, when they preach the gospel, they don't tell us, this is the contract that God has with us. Five things. Those he foreknew, he predestined. Predestined to be conformed to the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? You say the same thing. What did he believe? What did he do? You do the same thing. You agree with that? God say, he'll be the firstborn. He was resurrected. You be resurrected too. Do you like this contract? Do you like this term? You say yes, you sign your name, then he say, I'm going to call you. Right after he call you, he's going to justify you. Right after he justify you, he's going to glorify you. Now I want to go back, because I know some people, they have another mindset, that their mind refuse to be transformed to the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. They want to conform to the pattern of this world. I tell you the consequences. Okay? Two things. You either be the object of his wrath, or you become the object number one, either you are the object of his wrath or the object of his mercy. Object of his wrath is prepared for destruction. In other words, if you refuse to obey Jesus that come from faith, the end of the day, you'll be destroyed. Because I know these Bible verses. Because I have that faith in this verse, we come to obey Jesus. Another one is the object of his mercy. If you are the object of his mercy, he's going to prepare you in advance for glory. Go back to glory. Do me a favor, turn to Romans chapter 9. There are two objects. The first object is object of his wrath. Verse 22, what if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, born with great patience, the object of his wrath, the object of his wrath is prepared for destruction. Verse 23, what if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the object of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance for glory? I say one more time. Remember what's the name of the title of this sermon? Called by Jesus Christ. God called us to the obedient that come from faith. 1:5. God called us to belong to the Messiah, to belong to Jesus. Belong to Jesus, what does it mean by belong to Jesus? Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If anyone claims that he belongs to Jesus without the Holy Spirit, he's a liar. If you say that you belong to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. Go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. Anyone controlled by the sinful nature is the one who disobeys God. Anyone who controlled by the Holy Spirit is the one who obeys God. We don't obey God by our own strength. We obey God by the power of the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. He wants to make sure you obey to Jesus' calling, obey to his word, to be transformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ, not by your own strength, by the power that he given it to you. So he called you to belong to Jesus Christ. He gave you the Holy Spirit, When He gives you the Holy Spirit, you have a choice. You either grieve the Holy Spirit, quench the Spirit fire, or you obey the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will help you. Anyone who has the Holy Spirit, he can say yes to Jesus, he can also say no. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you cannot say yes to Jesus. Because you have no power, you're under the bondage of Satan. Okay? You're not set free. You say, Pastor John, where do you see that? Turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Who are burdened by the yoke of slavery? Anyone who controlled by the sinful nature. Anyone who controlled by the divine nature can obey. Jesus has two natures. Brother and sister, don't you know that you have two natures too? You have a human nature. You obey the human nature. You listen to your own mind. You don't listen to God's word. You're controlled by your own human nature. Then that's that. 8:6. Anyone who controlled by the mind of the sinful nature is dead. Anyone who controlled by the Holy Spirit is life and peace. When God set you free, don't go back to let your human nature to control your life. Let the divine nature to control your life. Because anyone who has the Holy Spirit can be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you. Okay? Just like what Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 saying, if anyone who belongs to Jesus, he will crucify his human nature. He will not listen to his human nature. Since we live by the Spirit, we have to walk in step by the Spirit. Right beside Romans chapter 1 verse 6, you write down Galatians 5:24 and 5:25. Belong to the Messiah, belong to Jesus, means obey the Holy Spirit. When you obey the Holy Spirit, that means you can obey Jesus. Thirdly, call to be a saint. Call to live a holy life. When you live a holy life, that means you live an obedient life. That means you live a life, you walk in step with the Holy Spirit. They are all talking about the same thing, but with different wording. Brother and sister, when we obey to this God calling, for sure 2 weeks ago you hear the blessing, the glory of righteousness, the glory of inheritance, the glory of kingship. Brother and sister, you are prepared in advance to receive it. Because you are the object of God's mercy. You are not the object of God's wrath. Don't follow the footsteps of King Saul. He received mercy to be king, the first king of Israel. And yet he disobeyed God's word. He do his own thing. He lost everything. He lost his life. He lost his kingship. He lost his inheritance. Brother and sister, we are predestined to follow the pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is it. That's the contract. We go for it. By God's grace, by God's power, we can do it. Everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ, say, amen. Our Heavenly Father, help us, because we know that we belong to Jesus. Help us to crucify our own sinful nature. And help us to live by the Spirit. Follow His guidance. Follow His power. And let us keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Because we are destined to receive glory from you. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.